Now, the rest of the story. I don't know if you've been watching the world's money marts, but once again in the course of economic history, the gold rush is on. It's not really gold we're rushing into. It's shrinking dollars from which the world is running away. And when our dollar goes on the critical list, as it is right now, the whole hospital seems to tremble. Now, we want to cure inflation, but we opt for sorcery rather than sound medicine, and from the dictionary of incantations, we the fearful draw one magic word, hedge. We want to hedge cheaper dollars, so we trade sick money for apparently healthy things. We buy land, we buy precious stones, we buy real estate, and we buy gold. So once again, the gold rush is on. We are returning during these next minutes to a war-torn Europe, to a decade economically similar to our own, when the Dutch were watching their guilders grow worthless, but they sought and found something which they considered the ideal hedge. So, now it's Europe in the 30s. The threat of war is everywhere. Currency is unstable. Speculators saw the handwriting on the wall. Get out of money and get into something. If it were a game show, you would have called it Hedge for Your Life. And though it was not a game everybody was playing, the Dutch were determined to be the winners. And so back in 34, they agreed on the ideal hedge against inflation. The basic units were neither assayed ingots nor South African Krugerrands. They were given splendidly attractive names, such as Viceroy and Admiral Siefkens and Semper Augustus. More attractive than these unit designations, however, was an economic fact of life. Bidding was driving the prices up every month, every week. Finally, every day. As an investment, it required no special business knowledge, so anybody with enough cash on hand could hedge, along with his economically astute neighbor. Caught in the maelstrom of wild speculation were schoolmasters and students, butchers and barbers, ordinary folk, people scared about soft currency. And within 3 years, this better-than-gold something had ascended all of the way up the charts. A viceroy, for example, was going for the equivalent of about $3,900. And Admiral Liefkens for about $4,100. One, a single Semper Augustus, just one of them, something which you could hold in the palm of your hand, $5,200. Why, one could have purchased a house for less, but it was not houses people wanted, nor anything save this thing. In the fierce bidding, one brewer offered his entire brewery for a single small unit of that sought-after commodity. No longer a simple hedge against inflation, in Holland it had become a national mania. Well, today we're riding such a tide. Today the rush is to gold. And yet in times like these, it's wise, if not pleasant, to recall that there have been other such times. The Holland of the 30s that we've just visited was not that of our own recent past. The point at which speculation was at its wildest was during this year 1637. And the red-hot commodity which was deemed better than gold, better than money, that for which 17th-century Dutchmen were willing to pay thousands of dollars each... Tulip bulbs. Tulip bulbs. And then one overnight, only months later, the bottom fell out, and tulips were again worth only pennies. And now you know the rest of the story.